And it is a good morning because we are joined this morning with Father John Giuliani, who is the pastor at All Saints Church in Lake Wylie and also one of the priests at the at the oratory, to talk through the conclave. And Trent and I were talking to Father John off the mics, and I said, now, Father John, I'm going to preface this interview because I am coming at this interview as a Southern Baptist who married a Pentecostal preacher's son and now go to the Fort Mill Church of God. I'm a proud member of the Fort Mill Church of God in Fort Mill, and Trent is a proud Presbyterian.
Associate Reformed Presbyterian.
So we are going to come at you with all the questions about the conclave. So first, of course, Pope Francis did pass away on Easter Monday. It was about a week and a half ago, at the age of 88. So take us up to what has happened in the Vatican City since then, and take us to where we are this morning.
Well, after the Pope died, the see was declared vacant, and that sets a whole process into motion with the cardinals of the Catholic Church from all over the world who are under the age of 80 gather in Rome to choose a new Pope by a two-thirds majority vote. Okay. That's held in secret ballot.
So that gives them the chance, because they are coming from all over to get there. How is it not every cardinal, but how are they chosen? Was that set up by Pope Francis himself?
The popes create a cardinal. It's called creation of cardinal. And they're usually pastors of major dioceses throughout the world, or priests or bishops that assist the Pope in administration, part of his cabinet. They would also be cardinals. So they would be the chief administrators of the Catholic Church throughout the world.
And I did hear that this was one of the most diverse group of cardinals. What does that mean?
They have a cardinal from Outer Mongolia and minor cities throughout the world. There's a Ukrainian Catholic cardinal from Melbourne, Australia. In fact, there are no Latin Rite cardinals from Australia, but the Pope chose this 44-year-old bishop to be one of his cardinals. So that's very unusual.
How many do we have from the United States?
10 cardinals.
10 cardinals. Do you know where they're coming from?
You know, Cardinal Dolan's from New York. Cardinal Tobin is Newark, New Jersey. Cardinal Blaise Supich from Chicago, Illinois. Cardinal Wilton Gregory, he's the former Archbishop of Washington, and then the new Archbishop of Washington that was just chosen. He was installed just in January. He will be one of the electors. Cardinal Raymond Burke was formerly the Archbishop of St. Louis, who was working at the Vatican. Cardinal Kevin Farrell, who was 77 years of age, who was at one time the Bishop of Dallas, and then he was brought to Rome to be the head of the Department of the Laity. And he is what they call the Camerlingo, the Vatican. He is now the administrator of the church's day-to-day business.
Oh, wow.
Didn't you say something about there's no cardinals over the age of 80?
That are able to vote. That's right.
Can they go but just not vote?
They cannot be present in the Sistine Chapel, but they are there. They were at the Mass this morning. They'll be at the dinner. But only the cardinals under 80 will get on the buses and vans and go over to the Sistine Chapel.
And you said they're locked in. Does that mean they go in, they lock the door? Because we heard on the news a second ago that, I mean, 100 years ago, did you ever think that they'd have to have signal jammers and listening devices?
Well, they used to have signals, and because a lot of the families in Rome would want to influence the election or political leaders throughout the world. At one time, some of the rulers had a veto. In fact, I think about 150 years ago, they chose a pope. And the emperor of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire vetoed his election. And then Pope Pius X forbade that practice. He said that never can be done. Once the cardinals choose someone, he's the pope.
You have to do it. So how many people are they choosing between? And do those people know if they're up to be the pope?
Every Catholic male who's baptized over 18 is eligible to be pope.
I guess that's kind of a shot in the dark for like somebody who's 18 here in Rock Hill.
Yeah, and it has happened, but hundreds of years ago. Usually it's a cardinal. But if someone was a layperson, he would have to become a bishop immediately. They would ordain him a deacon. Then he'd be ordained a priest and then a bishop. And once he became a bishop, he'd be the Bishop of Rome, because that's where the Pope's authority comes from, as the successor of St. Peter as Bishop of Rome.
So could one of the cardinals who was actually there in the conclave become the Pope?
Yes.
Does he have to recuse himself if they're like, hey, we're getting you on the ballot?
No, you can actually vote for yourself.
No kidding.
You can.
Because they take a pledge to vote for the one they believe is the best candidate to be Pope, and it might be themselves.
And I know that there's a couple of, is this the right way to say it, a couple of different rounds, and there's smoke. Explain what the smoke looks like.
There'll be one vote today, and if it's unsuccessful, they burn the ballots in a little potbelly stove, and they'll use dry, wet straw or a chemical, and the smoke will come out as black so that people know there's no election. When a pope is elected, the dean of the College of Cardinals will go to him, and he will say their name, and they'll say, do you accept your election as pope? And once he says yes, he becomes the Bishop of Rome and becomes pope immediately. Then they'll say, what name do you choose? And then he tells them what name.
Does that go back to when Peter was Simon and Jesus named him Peter? How that goes back to
you? Have a new identity. And once you're elected, you're ushered out of the chapel into a side room where they have the pope's robes, the white cassock. They call it the Room of Tears.
Because they're kind of shedding the old and becoming the new.
Yeah, it's like a new identity. And then they come out, and then all the cardinals present will come in and congratulate them and pledge their loyalty.
So what chances are that it's, I mean, what are the odds? Do people, I hate saying it, they're betting on this, but what are the odds that they'll have white smoke today or the first time?
It might be that they're...
How rare is that?
That would be very rare, but it has happened.
Okay.
Is there a certain time that they'll say, hey, we're gonna call it for today?
They will vote for several days. If no one has a majority, they take a day off of voting, and they pray, and they probably talk among themselves, and then they'll have another vote. It was very bad one time. No one wanted to be pope. The church was in such bad condition. It took 3 years. And they ended up taking the roof off of the chapel, and the food got really bad because they needed a pope.
Oh, yeah.
But no one wanted it.
Well, so that brings me to the next question. What does the pope, what is he responsible for? What does his normal day look like?
He's bishop of the Diocese of Rome, but also head of the Vatican City State. He's a ruler in his own right. At one time, the pope was actually crowned. It looked like it was a three-level crown. It looked like an egg and it put on his head. But since Pope Paul VI, he was the last pope to be crowned. He was crowned and then never used it again. And no subsequent pope has been crowned. He has a massive inauguration, probably maybe in a week. The cardinals will stay in Rome and they'll have a big celebration at St. Peter's. And he'll wear what they call a pallium, which is what any normal Catholic archbishop wears. It's made out of lamb's wool, and it's like a circle around his neck, and it's like a stole. And archbishops of a diocese wear that. He's a bishop, basically, but basically the top bishop in the world.
And how important is this not only for the Catholic Church, but for Rome and Vatican City?
Well, the people of Rome, they love having their pope and their bishop, and they'll come out by the droves, and they'll be cheering him and wishing him well. As you could see, when Pope Francis was buried, 250,000 people packed St. Peter's Square. In his grave, where he's buried at St. Mary Major, there's lines. You have to wait 3 hours to go by his coffin or his grave. And people are sending flowers. And in fact, there was another beloved Pope, John the 23rd. His body did not corrupt after it died. So he's in the Vatican. You can see him when you go there to the right. And people send flowers every day, fresh flowers. He was so loved by the Italian people.
Well, again, we've been speaking with Father John Giuliani, who is the pastor at All Saints Church in Lake Wylie and also the priest at the Oratory. And we thank you for walking us through what the conclave is going to look like, and we'll be watching. So we need to be watching for...
Later today, if there's white smoke, there's a new pope, we might have to wait a day or two.
So but we might I think see black smoke today.
Yeah, I think it'll be relatively quick, though. I have my own idea about who my kid is.
They don't leave until they get one.
That's right.
And until they vote one in.
That's right.
So do they eat and they have
yeah, all, they eat
sleep
together.
In there and everything? They'll
go. They used to have to sleep right near the chapel, but okay. Now they go back to the hotel that they live at, but they can't communicate. They had to give their phones up.
Oh.
And they put a false floor in the chapel, and they have old jamming equipment underneath.
That's crazy. All right.
And they check for any kind of electric signals going on.
Well, we thank you for being here. It's going to be very interesting, and we'll be looking for that white smoke.
Yep.
Thank you, Father John.
Thank you.